You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. Our associate pastor is Father Steve Gira. And now, enjoy the podcast.
It was about a month ago when I got home. I was checking the mail, and there it was, a summons. I have to appear before the 22nd Judicial Court in the city of St. Louis, August 25th, for jury duty. And I was telling the students at the school assembly this week that it's likely I won't be here on Tuesday morning for the all-school mass because I have to go for this summons and this jury duty. And afterwards, I heard that some of the kids were asking, what did he do? Is he going to jail? Then some other people said, can't you get out of it? You know, tell them who you are and you got responsibilities. Well, I remember the last time I went thinking I could get out of it. I was all dressed up in my nice collar and I appeared before the people there. And not only did I get picked for a jury, but then they picked me to be the foreperson for the jury. So I'm not going there this time. I'm going incognito. But I do recall from my last visit the experience of the judge after this criminal case was ending, a drug case, and he said to all of us jurors, now remember this instruction. You must base your decision solely upon the evidence that has been presented. If there's insufficient evidence to convict, you must acquit. That's how it works. And it brought to mind again that phrase that I think probably many of you have heard at one time or another. It goes, if Christianity was illegal and you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be sufficient evidence to convict you and send you to jail? Would there be? Is it evident enough? Is it obvious enough that we follow the Christ, the Son of the living God? Oh, like Peter, it's very easy for us, isn't it, to stand up even in this assembly and profess our faith? It's very easy for us to say, yes, Jesus, you are the Lord, you're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But we are reminded over and over again by Jesus himself in the gospel that it is not those who say, Lord, Lord, you're the one, Lord, Lord. Those are not the ones who enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who put the word of God into practice. In other words, where's the proof for our word? How is our word affirmed by the evidence of our lives? I was thinking about a different way to come at this, to look at it personally, and I thought of this crazy kind of hypothetical. What if tomorrow morning you got up, you flipped on the news, opened your morning paper, and this was the headline? Christianity proven to be a hoax. There was no Jesus. No crucifixion, no resurrection, none of it. It was all made up. How would your life change radically? Would your life, would my life make sense? Would it have any meaning? Because all those things that would change for me and for you. That's the evidence. The evidence of our faith that Jesus is the Christ. I was thinking about this because on August 15th, one of our students, our seminarians in the Congregation of the Resurrection, professed his perpetual vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience in the Congregation of the Resurrection. Why would anyone do that? What sense would that make to people in the world? Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. What sense does it make for anyone to seek to be ordained and serve the church? What sense does it make for anyone to seek a ministry, a full-time ministry in the church, perhaps in Catholic education, Catholic social services? What sense does it make for someone to volunteer their time to take care of the needy or the poor if there is no Christ, if there is no God? What sense does it make? What sense would it make for us to reach into our pockets and share our treasure with needy people and hungry people across the world? It makes no sense without our faith that Jesus is the Christ. We hear from Peter again today, and it's always nice to hear from Peter because he's so much a human being. And Peter, of course, Jesus says, is the rock upon which he's going to build this church of his. But Peter, of course, isn't always the most solid of rocks. He's a little shaky. In fact, he crumbles around the edges on one particular occasion, as we know. But yet, it is Peter who is the one that Jesus can reach out to and say, all right, by grace you are chosen and by grace you are forgiven. Now you can get up and now you can go forward. To be that person who preaches that word of God with the same authority that I do. Often in the gospel we hear that Jesus has authority, but it's not like the authority of the scribes. The scribes who want to impose and demand through perhaps threat and fear. But that is not Jesus' authority. Rather, his authority is based on his character, his witness to the values he lives, the evidence in Jesus' own life. Because what he did is what he taught, not the other way around. And so it is for us as well that we as church are always sinners. We will never be otherwise. And sometimes we are shaky. And sometimes our rock begins to crumble a little bit here and there. But we too are the beneficiaries of this Christ who brings and announces God's gift of forgiveness and mercy and strength, that we may get up and we may try again to be better witnesses, to be more transparent, that our lives only make sense because of who we believe in and who we follow. You know, Jesus is like these coaches that you've seen all when you've been watching the Olympics. I'm always struck by the fact that wherever these gymnasts are or the swimmers or all those folks, their coaches are always there. And here are these coaches who these young athletes have literally handed their lives over to these coaches for years and years, saying to these coaches, you have something to teach me that I don't know. If I trust you, if I follow what you say, if I practice, I know I will get there. And that is why these beaming smiles of these coaches are there when their athletes have finally succeeded. Well, Jesus is that for us. He is the one who we proclaim in word that is the Christ, and we hand our lives over to him, and we say, teach me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Teach me how to be a transparent witness of yours, not just with my words, but with the evidence of my life, with all that I do. So in the end, let there be lots of people proclaiming vows in religious orders. Let there be people seeking to serve through holy orders and ordinations. Let there be many people seeking to study theology, lay people who get master's degrees in theology so that they can serve the church for a mere fraction of a salary they could make elsewhere. Let there be myriads of volunteers that come forward to serve. Let there be people who give of themselves and their time and their talent and their treasure, not letting their left hand know what their right hand is doing. In other words, let us all make sure that our lives make no sense at all. No sense at all. Unless there is the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord, that we follow, that we believe in.